Radio bonus Patreon content is what you got, my friend. We are about to get into a little Black Mirror action. My name is Darian. Thank you very much for joining me in this little Black Mirror extravaganza that we're having. And thank you for your Patreon donations. If you're listening to this, then that means that you are one of the lucky few that has chosen to donate to our Patreon campaign in the Padded Room. And that means a lot to us. That keeps our lights on and our bandwidth rolling and our content coming out to you and everything else that we do. So thank you very much for that. I hope you're enjoying this show, and I hope you enjoy the regular Padded Room shenanigans, to include Cake Wolf's Happy Hour and Horror for Dummies, of course. Let's take a look at last week's Black Mirror comments, if we could. Looks like we only got one. It's from our main man, Kevin, in Tokyo, Japan. Quote of the episode... And in quotations here, that I can turn on and off pretty much instantly. See? I can do it again if you like. Haha. That's what I'm talking about, Kevin. You remember, he's referring to last week's episode, which was entitled Be Right Back, where the lady gets like a downloaded version of her dead husband. And then this weird flesh bot shows up that she uploads him to, and then presto changeo, she's basically got her husband back. That's all well and good, but it brings to light some difficult moral quandaries because, I mean, these things could easily be turned into sex bots. And then you never know where some kind of a downloaded copy of your husband or wife is going to end up. And then it's like, fuck, man, does she or he or whoever, do they remember me? Do they even care anymore that now that they've been purchased by some corporation to serve in their sex den? Think about that, man. It's tricky. But the cool part, though, is that, like, if my wife were to die and I were to download a facsimile of her into a fleshbot, I could be like, okay, we're having sex now. And she'd be like, yeah, all right. Anytime I want it, apparently. But, you know, that's part of the differential between an actual human being and one of those sex bot thingies. Anyway, thanks for writing in, Kev. Yeah, that's... I mean, it would be cool, but at the same time, it's like, where do we draw the line? Because if I wanted a 100% accurate depiction of my wife, there'd be a lot of, you know, I don't feel like it tonight. The kids are awake. We're in a public area. We're at the shopping mall. You know how women can be, my friend. Alrighty, well, without further ado, let's get into Season 2, Episode 2 of Black Mirror. This one is entitled White Bear. This one's a lot different. Not as perky, I should say, as the last episode. We're going to start off in jolly old England, as we are apt to do with these things. We're going to start off with a young lady waking up in a condo. Bedroom, more to be precise. Fairly attractive young lady. Looks like she's had a rough couple of days, though, or maybe even longer, as we'll find out. She wakes up and basically, she stumbles around her way around the condo. She sees some pictures of herself with a guy and a little girl that looks like it could possibly be, her little girl. But, the main thing is that she doesn't remember anything. She doesn't know who she is or where she is or what the hell's going on. So she looks out the bedroom window of this condo, and she sees that she's like in a condominium complex, like townhome situation, and it's like overlooks a courtyard. And there's a bunch of other condos around, and there's like a little playground area in the middle of the courtyard. So she's looking down there. Nobody there. Nobody for, you know, doesn't seem like the place is teeming with life exactly. So she staggers her way out into the courtyard, starts looking around. Pretty soon she starts to notice that all the other condos in this complex here, there's people in all of the upstairs windows, and they're all staring at her. So that's kind of creepy. So she's like, hey, can you help me? Hey, I don't remember who I am. Can you help me? Do you know me? Nothing. Nobody so much as even acknowledges her. And then as she looks a little bit closer, she starts to realize that they're all videotaping her on their cell phones. All right, that's pretty creepy. So pretty soon this little 12-year-old girl like pops out around a corner and takes a quick couple of cell phone pics of her. So our amnesiac goes hauling ass after her. She's like, hey, get back here. So she takes off. They go around a corner out into a street. As soon as she makes the left onto the street, she's basically swarmed by people taking cell phone video of her. She's like, hey, can anybody, what are you guys doing? Can you help me? I forgot who I am and I don't know what's going on and this is kind of scary. It's pretty frightening, I'd say. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So pretty soon this I guess is like a sedan pulls up, but it pulls up like a block away. And it pulls up, stops, guy gets out, he's wearing a red coat and a ski mask. That's a red flag right there, if you ask me. But he goes around to the back of the car, pops the trunk, and pulls out a shotgun, a double barrel. See, now this is how I know we're in jolly old England, because if that was an American driver, he'd have a 9mm on his lap, bro. Fuck carrying your shotgun in the trunk. You just wasted like 2 minutes walking around your car trying to get the trunk open. Anyway, pulls out a shotgun, loads it, starts walking towards her. She's like, hey, whoa. So she hauls ass. He starts shooting at her with the shotgun. Amazing he didn't hit any of these other people, but we'll get to that in a second. So she hauls ass. He's chasing her. Comes around another corner to a gas station. Bunch of people outside, of course. They're all videotaping her and stuff. One young lady wearing camouflage is like pumping gas into her car. So she runs up and she's like, hey, can you help me? This guy's trying to kill me. Get me out of here. The young lady like starts yelling at somebody in the gas station. Come on. We got to go. So this guy comes running out. He's got camouflage on too. And they see the dude in the red coat with the ski mask. And they're like, oh, fuck. So all three of them go running back into the gas station. The guy with the ski mask rolls up. Now he's got like his own mob of cell phone video takers chasing him around. He starts like trying to kick the door open to the gas station, but they've barricaded it with a freezer. So then he starts like trying to break one of the windows, and every time one of them pops up, he points a shotgun at him, so they're all pretty terrified. Pretty scary stuff. Eventually, he manages to smash the glass. Now, while that was happening, our three survivors inside, they're like, hey, what's going on here? The chick in the camouflage is like, oh, God, it's one of them. We got to watch out. The other guy, the guy in the camouflage, is like, yeah, we're pretty fucked. We got to get out of here. But they hatch this ingenious plan that they're going to go out the back door of the gas station. Unfortunately, that door is locked. So camouflage chick grabs a fire extinguisher and starts beating on it. She gets it open just as Redcoat comes barreling through the window. So Amnesiac and camouflage go flying out the back door. There's more people with cell phones out there, but they're not really doing anything other than videotaping. Camouflage guy stays to fight Redcoat. Big struggle between him and Redcoat going on. We don't actually get to see what happens other than we cut to outside where Camouflage and Amnesiac are hiding behind a dumpster. We hear the gun go off, and then we see Camouflage guy come staggering out holding his guts. Redcoat's right behind him, and he's reloading the shotgun. Oh, boy. So Camouflage Girl and Amnesiac decide to leave Camouflage Guy and go hauling ass. Redcoat is chasing him. They cut through some alleys. Eventually, they come across these two other guys that are also hunting them. Well, actually, it was a dude and a chick. Now, the chick had on, like, a, I guess, like, a dishwashing apron and a, she was, like, her weapon of choice was a turkey carver, which is really stupid. I don't know why you would choose that to do anything. Like, I mean, it's electric, it's noisy as shit. If you use it, I don't know, maybe there's like a high-end turkey carver out there, but the one that I have, you can't use it for more than like 6 minutes and then the battery dies, or it gets all slow and sluggish and then it eventually dies, but it's a pain in the ass. It's a really stupid idea. I don't know. Maybe England doesn't have like standard landscaping equipment, because a chainsaw would be much more intimidating. That thing is just silly. The other guy has a hunting rifle. He's got like a welding mask on, which is pretty intense. Anyway, they chase them around this neighborhood. Eventually, Amnesiac and Camouflage duck into a house, and they get like a minute or two to calm down and relax. All right, that's pretty cool. So now we're going to get a little backstory here. Amnesiac is like, what the fuck is going on? I woke up. I don't know who I am. I don't know what's happening. Everybody's just filming and there's people trying to kill us. And then Camouflage brings her up to speed. She's like, yeah, man, apparently you've been in a coma or something for a while, because what's happened is, people that like watching TV and playing on their cell phones, they've all been mesmerized by this weird, cell phone signal, basically turned them into very compliant, TV watchers, and or, like, they don't do anything, and whenever they see anything happening, they just videotape it. That's all they do. They just record it with their phones, and that's it. And the hunters are people that have been immune to that and are now, like, taking advantage of the other people. So basically, the hunters do whatever they want. They take whatever they want. They kill whoever they want and all that. And basically, they like being the only ones that are able to do that. So when they see somebody else that is awake, per se, they try to kill them, and thus that's why the hunters are after these three individuals. So that's the bad news. The good news is that Camouflage, along with her boyfriend, were on their way to blow up a relay station, which should shut down cell service to this particular city, and thus hopefully wake some people up and bring them out of their cell phone stupor. So that's pretty cool. I mean, at least they have like a plan going on. Amnesiac is like, what the fucking hell is this? I don't get it, man, but I'm gonna hang with you because you seem to know something about this, and I like my chances of surviving much better with you. So she's like, okay. As they're having this conversation, some more hunters roll up, so they go hauling ass outside. Actually, they see the hunters go by, but then they see some of the cell phone video people out there, and Amnesiac loses her shit. She goes marching out there. She's like, what the fuck is your problem? You want to see something? I'll show you something. So she picks up bricks and starts slinging them at the people videotaping them. Knocks one of them around a little bit, and then he drops his cell phone, and then they go hauling ass. So the Amnesiac runs up, and she's like, I want to see what this guy's doing. So she goes and like starts looking at his cell phone, and then Camouflage runs up and threatens her with a stun gun. She's like, put that down, bitch. Put that down. If you look at it, then you're going to become one of them instantly. Put it down. Don't look at it. Let's go. Pretty scary. Fortunately for Amnesiac, unfortunately, but we'll find out more about that in a minute, she does not look at the cell phone. So that's pretty creepy. Pretty soon, this dude rolls up as the hunters are coming back for him. This dude rolls up in like a van, like a green van. Now, we'll recognize this guy. I don't know his name. I'm going to pull his name up real quick. He's a pretty good genre actor. He's, I want to say Irish. We've seen him in a lot of European horror movies. You'll remember him from Hit List, also from Outpost. He was in a couple other things, too. I'm going to bring him up real quick. Outpost was, yeah, that one. And he's got a very distinguished face. You know what I mean? Like, you know his face. His name is Michael Smiley. And he is a pretty good type of a dude. You'll know him. Kill List is what I was thinking of. Kill List. Jawbone, which I've never seen. I think that's a boxing movie. I've got his IMDb page up. Oh, Tank 432, which I just watched a little while ago. That's not a bad show either. And it's another one that doesn't make sense. The Hollow, you remember that? Shelter, Black Sea. Apparently he's been in a couple of Doctor Who thingies. Talking to the Dead. He's been a Field in England. There you go. Yeah, so there's that. He shows up and he's like, hey, you know, come on, hop in. We got to get out of here. The hunters are coming. So they're like, fuck, what do we do? So Camouflage just jumps in the van. Amnesiac is like, whoa, wait a minute. I think I know that guy. So she's like hesitant, but then Camouflage jumps out, grabs her, throws her in the van, and off they go. Right about now, Amnesiac starts getting psychic premonition powers. She's like, wait, I know you. You're going to take us to your safe spot, which is in the woods. And then we're going to get out, and you're going to say nobody's coming, and then we're going to eat a little bit. And then what? I don't know. And he's like, well, maybe we have met at some point or something. I don't know. So they go off to the woods. They're free from the hunters and the cell phone people. They go out to the woods, and they're like looking around. They don't have any cell service out there, so it's like a safe zone for them. They get a quick bite to eat, and they're kind of lounging for a minute. And then the guy, the kill list guy, is like, hey, what's your name? And she's like, I don't know. I completely forgot everything. And he's like, well, what weaknesses do you have? And she's like, what? What kind of conversation is this? You're talking about my weaknesses? And then eventually he's like, well, I got weaknesses too, you know. And he's like, wait, I'll show it to you. Hold on. And then he goes into the van, and he comes out with a shotgun. Now, if you're paying attention, you'll notice it's the same make and model of shotgun that Redcoat had earlier. I don't want to spoil this, but that's something that I picked up on. He's like, ah, I got you now. So he basically makes her put on a ski mask backwards, Amnesiac, and then he marches her in Camouflage down to this clearing. Once he gets to the clearing, he takes a ski mask off of Amnesiac, and she immediately sees that there's like a bunch of dead bodies, and they're all like crucified in the trees and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I got you now, you bitch. So he marches them down to this clearing with all these dead bodies, makes them both get on their knees, and then his cell phone rings. All right, now that's a red flag, right? Because theoretically, if what we've been brought to understand is true, then he should be turned into one of these cell phone people. But his cell phone rings, he answers it, he starts talking to some guy. While he's having this conversation, Camouflage gets up and hauls ass. He gets off the phone. He's like, your mate ran away. That means it's double trouble for you, bitch. So he basically hogties Amnesiac, like bends her over a tree stump, and starts pulling out power tools. And he's like, bzz, bzz, I'm going to give it to you hard. Now all the cell phone people are starting to show up. They're coming out from behind the trees and out of the bushes and stuff, and they're all videotaping this. He's just on the point of giving her the Black and Decker treatment, when there's a shotgun blast from behind her. Camouflage came back, took the shotgun when he wasn't looking, and shot him. So that's cool. Now they're like, come on, we gotta go. They grab the keys to his van, they go hauling ass. None of the cell phone people do anything to stop them, obviously. They get back up to the van, and they're like, okay, let's haul ass. We're gonna go shut down that relay station. So they get going to what they're referring to as the White Bear Relay Station. This phrase, White Bear, comes up quite a bit. So they're on their way to the relay station. We get like these weird flashbacks from Amnesiac. A little girl that we presume to be her daughter. A guy that we presume to be her husband or fiance or boyfriend. And, you know, like some good times. They're making breakfast and stuff like that. And then at one point, she gets a flashback of them driving past a police car and her telling her daughter to crouch down low in the car. Well, that's a bit of a red flag, isn't it? Why are you hiding from the cops? I don't know. We'll get to that, I suppose. Anyway, they get to the White Bear relay station. They get inside. They get down to the control room, and the point of this control room thing is to, I guess they're gonna like light the place on fire, and then once it blows up, then it'll shut down the relay signal. So they get down there. They're dousing the whole place in gasoline. The hunters show up, and it's the dumb ones too. The one with a turkey baster or the turkey carver, although it would be much funnier if she had a turkey baster. And then the other moron with the welding mask. They're chasing him around. They get to the control room. They're throwing gasoline all over it. The hunters show up in the control room, and then Camouflage pulls out a lighter, and she's like, don't even think about it, you fuckers. You so much as look at me, I'm going to throw this, and we're all going to blow up. One of the hunters like jumps on Camouflage, or shoots her, and she's now out of the equation. Amnesiac grabs a shotgun, and she's like pointing it at the hunters, like, don't come near me, don't come near me. And then in a really weird twist, The back wall of the control room opens up to reveal a live television audience. And they're all clapping and cheering. And they're like, hey. And then Camouflage gets up and she's like, hey, we made it. And then the guy, Outpost shows back up. He's actually like the game show host. And he's like, okay, let's see what we won. Pretty weird, right? And then, so basically, now they're in front of, like, this live studio audience, which is weird. And Amnesiac is going, what the fuck is going on? They sit her down in a chair and, like, restrain her. And they're like, you, Outpost shows up and he's like, you probably want to know what the hell's going on. So then he basically breaks it down. I'm going to try and do this justice, but apparently... what happened was this young lady, Amnesiac, was actually she was complacent in the murder of a little girl. And the little girl in question is the one that she remembered to be her daughter, but it was actually a little girl that her and her fiancé abducted, her fiancé being the white guy from the flashbacks. Apparently, the fiancé was some kind of a sicko. He tortured and murdered the little girl while Amnesiac videotaped it and kind of cheered him on and was a real prat about it. That's right. I said prat because that's what, I don't know, I saw that on an English movie and they were throwing that around. So that's what I'm going with. You're being a real prat, eh? Whatever that means. So, yeah, that's no good. Apparently, the fiancé... They were apprehended, and the video that she took was used as evidence to convict them both. The fiancé managed to hang himself in his jail cell and thus somewhat elude justice. While she did not, she has now suffered this fate. And from there, now the crowd is like booing and calling her a murderer and stuff, and she's bawling because she doesn't really remember any of it, but now some of this is starting to come back to her a little. And she's like, oh, fuck me, what the hell? So now they're like, okay, let's get this piece of shit out of here and send her right back to where she came from. So they take her, still have her restrained in that chair. They load her up into this weird Pope-mobile situation. It's like a car, but like with that glass enclosure thing on the back. So they load her up into that, and then they drive her right back to that condo complex, march her right back upstairs to that bedroom that she woke up in earlier that day. And then they basically go through like a weird mind erase memory loss procedure. It looked like they put like some headphones on her and then zapped her. And then she's like, ah, it looked really painful. She's like, ah, ah, ah. And then she wakes up the next morning and basically does the whole shit all over again. But this time, as she's waking up, we get to see the behind the scenes action. So this is what, this is what we're calling a justice park. And apparently this is what we do to criminals in this dystopian extent of the future. We basically kind of, well, it's like a theme park, man. I mean, all the people with the cell phones, they all paid to be there to experience this. Redcoat and Camouflage Girl, Camouflage Guy, well, we also find out that Redcoat and the guy driving the van are the same dude. It's Outpost, the game show host. So they're all in on it. They're all playing parts. All their weapons are loaded with blanks, although they're doing a pretty convincing job of, acting like they're shot and stuff. And, that's what's happening. And she gets to basically relive this day over and over again. It's pretty gnarly. And she wakes up and she's still just, confused and what the fuck. And then, she goes and tries to get help, and nobody helps her, and she just staggers around the small little complex, and then it basically goes down the same way it just did. So, that's pretty gnarly. It seems a little counterintuitive, though, right? Yeah, I was thinking, like, what if instead of getting up and, like, staggering around the neighborhood, what if she just, like, got up and... made breakfast and watched a little TV or something, or just rolled over, got in bed and went back to sleep. I don't know, man. The whole premise of this Justice Park is her behaving in a somewhat predictable fashion. So if she behaves unpredictably in any fashion at all, it's going to throw the whole thing out of whack. I don't know. It seems like a whole lot of pomp and circumstance for not a lot of payoff. Because at the end, yeah, she's terrified. You know, she gets chased around by these guys. But then at the end, she just goes right back to her condo and goes back to sleep. So is it really that big of a punishment? For the crime that they laid out for her supposedly committing, that seems kind of weak, you know? You'd think they would at least cut a finger off or something, you know, do some serious damage. But anyway, that's pretty much your episode. That was Season 2, Episode 2, entitled White Bear. Pretty cool, pretty good stuff there. I like the idea of the Justice Park. It brings to mind an old movie that I used to like called Punishment Park. Have any of you guys seen this? It's not that far off of what we just watched here, except that in Punishment Park, it was like a similar like dystopian society, but political dissenters were also being punished. And instead of just reliving the same day over and over again, they had to like run a full marathon through the desert with no water. And if they tried to... if they didn't survive, they didn't survive, but it was better than like these elaborate prison sentences that they would get and these ridiculous charges that were trumped up against them. So they would be given the opportunity to try their luck in Punishment Park or just chill in prison for like 350 years, basically a life sentence. So most of them would take Punishment Park, but then once they got to Punishment, it was like there's like a Death Valley Punishment Park where you have to run through the desert. There's also like a... Arctic Tundra Punishment Park. We have to run through the cold. But, yeah, it's pretty harsh. Pretty bad business. Same general concept, except in Punishment Park, though, the crimes were more like, not agreeing with the current establishment. It's very North Korean, I guess, in a weird way, the laws were. Anyway, that's about it for this episode, my friends. That was Black Mirror Season 2, Episode 2, entitled White Bear. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me here in my Black Mirror situation, whatever you want to call this. Join me next week, of course. I'll be doing another episode. I think that one is the Waldo thing. It's about the cartoon character that gets elected to public office. I'm not 100% sure about that. But thank you again for joining the Patreon feed and for contributing and for listening and checking out the shows here in the padded room. I don't know what else to say, but you guys are the ones that keep us going here, and that means a shit ton to us. We love you so goddamn much. Okay? There. I said it. So there you go. We'll see you next week with some more Black Mirror. Even put me down, still on.